90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, KPFK.org. I'm Beto Arcos, it's the Global Village, and this piece, ay, 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 what a soulful song. Linda Ronstadt, a song composed by one of the great classical composers from Mexico, Mr. Manuel María Ponce, A la orilla de un palmar. Man, this song really takes us back. It takes us back a couple of centuries, at least 100-something years. And joining me to talk about this particular piece and several in this record is my compadre. Great to have you again, Rai. Rai Cooter in the house, friends. Ah, so nice to have you, Rai. How are you?
Good, Beto. Thank you very much.
So great to see you. Mm-hmm. And what a story. This we've been hearing from in the past hour with Patty Maloney and the Chieftains and his own. You know, it was really interesting to talk to him because he's someone that just wants to tell you story after story after story. Mm-hmm. And it was difficult to kind of, you know, break in the conversation because I just want to hear him. I just want to hear what his stories. And, he, you know, it was almost like he was there with me in the studio, even though we were talking on the phone. Right. Give us a bit of context on this project, how you came about. You came into this project a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, I can recall talking about this story, the Patricio story with Patty, maybe, let's say, 10 years ago. And we were somewhere and together. It might have been even during the Buddy, my name is Buddy's time. It probably was. And he said, do you know the story of the San Patricios? I said, no. And he started in. telling me about this Mexican War, this chapter in the Mexican War history of 1848. Well, I said, Patty, that's a record if I ever heard one. You love these Irish mixture records. This is even better than the usual thing. It contains all of this. Then it's the war. It's the conquest, the invasion of Mexico, and all this. Wouldn't that be timely now? Wouldn't it be interesting for people to learn all this and make these connections to the present? Well, sure, he goes, you know, we'll see about that. And then he went off and did the millions of things that he does, and I went off and did whatever it was I was doing. And then about a year ago, he came around again, called me up. I think I want to do this now. And I said, yes, it's even better now. There's even more to it now for people. If we like the idea that the modern audience can have their own context, which is being provided daily almost, you know, if you want stories of war, you know, modern warfare, modern preemptive warfare, armies, the American army, how they behave and what they do in the world, militarism, and the music itself is undeniable. We all love Mexican music. I certainly do. And it would be a great chance, I told him, to bring some people in, and a good way to reach out to them, call them up and say, come on, join us here. Well, what's it going to consist of? Patty wants to know. And I said, I don't know. Who knows what music of 1848 would have been like in Mexico? I have no idea. I know something about the Civil War of the teens and the ranchera music and the accordion music and this stuff. That all came later. But if we don't take to a hardcore framing, the book ending, the time, then we can just do anything we want to, really. And there's so many great people out there. And so we went ahead, and he went ahead. He got off to a flying start. He started with Lila Downs in New York, and then he went to Mexico and hooked up with Mary Farquharson of Corazon label down there, and she helped him quite a lot, you know. And Chabela Vargas, who wouldn't come to the studio but sent the music. She didn't want to be interfered with. She just sent these fantastic songs, you know. So that's mysterious, you know.
Chabela Vargas by the way, she's 90 years old.
Yeah. Well, she didn't think she was up to journeying up to Mexico City from where she lives. So she sent this. She did it in her house and sent it. It's fantastic, you know. It's not something you hear every day. You can do, hey, Chabela, come on down. It is not quite like that.
Now, right? I'm from Mexico, and I knew about the San Patricio Batallón de San Patricio. Growing up, they were heroes to us, and what a story! Irish immigrants come from the U.S., join the Mexican army, and become these amazing icons to Mexicans. I've read it in different books in Mexican history, but no one ever told me about them here, and no one ever mentioned them.
Oh, no.
My son is in fifth grade now, and he's taking American history. Not once I said, did they ever mention? No, Papa. He says they don't talk about that.
No, they don't. They don't. I went through the Santa Monica public school system. They wouldn't breathe a word of such things. Mutiny by soldiers, unthinkable. And as Howard Zinn said, of course, mutiny by soldiers is one of the ways that people have struggled against oppression or against injustice. And yet, can you imagine the American army is criticized, and you get to hear about this in a pub? Oh, no, certainly not.
Now, you wrote a song called The Sands of Mexico. Tell us about this piece.
Well, a little while ago, you played the Lament for the Dead. So you imagine she's there in Ireland. Her sweetheart, her husband, her friend has gone off as an immigrant to the United States only to be conscripted. When they walked down the gangplank from the ships into Ellis Island, at the bottom of the gangplank would have been two representatives of the army, recruiting agents. And they knew, here come another wave of these Irish. You are now in the Union Army, and here's your rifle and here's your uniform. The fella says, I didn't come over here to join the army. I came over here to get away from that. The oppression by the English, the famine, of course, and these conditions in Ireland. are you kidding? I'm in the Army now. Well, you want to live in the United States, you're in the Army now. This happened to my great-grandfather, Jack O'Leary, who came in one of these waves of immigration from County Cork, as a matter of fact. A little few years later, he was immediately pressed into the Union Army, fought in the Civil War. So at home we have this woman singing, knowing she's probably never going to see him again. I'll sleep with you when I'm dead. So I thought, okay, letters home from soldiers are always very moving and interesting to us because it's possibly the last communication, you know, the last words before they go into the final struggle and so forth, you know, these letters that have come down in different wars. So it would be very good, I thought, to hear from one of these guys. What's he thinking about where he is and what it's like and what are his thoughts there? I mean, first of all, who can imagine if you're Irish and you're coming from this green land, the deserts of northern Mexico, 120-degree temperatures, dust storms last for 4 days. You know, you've gotten lost from your mule-pack train. Nothing to eat. No water. They weren't prepared. The Army wasn't prepared. They had no idea what they were getting into, you know, down there. And it was very hard to hold the Army together, by the way. The deserters were not only Irish. A very tough time. People who were given incentives, you know, we'll give you land, we'll give you money, which was never delivered. Oh, okay, they would join. Only to, oh, I can't stand this. I can't stay here. And I don't like shooting these, killing these civilians. These Mexicans, they were told, you know, just go into these villages and waste everybody. So the San Patricios, as they began to call, well, they called themselves, I don't know what they called themselves, but the Mexicans, when they realized they want to join us, they won't shoot Catholics, they won't shoot innocent people. They don't. They came to America theoretically to get away from that kind of thing. So the song is simply this man is sitting there thinking, well, we're going into battle in the morning. I may not make it, but I want a message to Mary. You know, take a message to my sweetheart. I'm a praying man now. My Bible is my roadmap. It's all I've got. We don't even know where we are. And I told Patty, we need to hear the story in this kind of language, but it's very hard to do. There isn't one. So I had to come. I mean, one day I woke up towards the end of the project and said, okay, I hear it now. I was lucky. I don't know what it was. The coffee was just the right temperature that morning, or there was raining outside. Who knows why? And it sort of popped into my head, and I put this together for him. I said, do you like this? He had me change one verse, and I liked it, and I'm glad he did, because it's nice to hear this in English. See, a lot of our listeners here are going to be not Spanish-speaking, you know, and they may not understand some of the Spanish words. I hope they take and pay attention. But here's one for them where the story can be told from the Irish point of view, anyway.
My guest in studio is Ry Cooter. We're talking about the Chieftain's record with Ry Cooter, San Patricio, and this is called The Sands of Mexico on 90.7 KPFK.
We went down to Churubusco, but the devil got there first. The road was hard, the way was long, Churubusco was far worse. Pressed in the Union Army and ordered off to go along the southern border to the sands of Mexico. Now we come from Cork and Kerry, that emerald world has passed. My Mary would be pleased to know I'm a praying man at last. In this distressed country, little comfort do we know. My Bible is my road map on the sands of Mexico. When the road is called up yonder, I'll be there. The boys will harmonize a lovely Irish air. Take a message to my Mary, she's the one that's true, I know. When you saw me, I had fallen on the sands of Mexico. Now the army used us harshly, we were but trash to them. Conscripted Irish farmers, not first-class soldier men. They beat us and they banged us, mistreated us, you know. But they couldn't make us killers on the sands of Mexico. That's why we call it faith. That's why we call him Lord. That's why I threw away my Yankee sword. Our John Riley seized the day and marched us down the road. And we wouldn't slay our brothers on the sands of Mexico. Righteousness was all in vain. Irish blood was spilled once again. As I stand upon the gallows, it cheers the soul to know history will absolve us on the sands of Mexico. The sands of Mexico, the bloody sands of Mexico. La historia me absolverá on the sands of Mexico.
FM, KPFK Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, KPFK.org. Rye Cooter, his song, The Sands of Mexico with the Chieftains. The record is called San Patricio. It's out on Concord Hear Music March 9th. And my guest in studio is Rye Cooter, who co-produced this record. What a beautiful and soulful tune. The last part of it, or the second half of it, is like a habanera danzón, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And tell us about the different musicians that you brought into this particular piece, and the one with Linda Ronstadt. You have friends of yours from a long time, right? Van Dyke Parks.
Mm-hmm. Well, Van Dyke on Linda's tune, Van Dyke, Rene Camacho on bass. He's also with us here in this tune. Ursi Arvizu sang harmony with Linda up there, down here.
Chuy Guzman on the violin
was around for a lot of this because he's so good and he's so helpful. And if you need, you know, a violin arrangement or if you need some singing, Chuy's your man. He's good at everything he does, I think.
You brought to this project one song that when I heard it, I thought, wow, this takes me back not just the 100 years because the composer José López Alavés, mm-hmm. from Oaxaca, but because It's an anthem. It's a song that I, being from Mexico, learned when I was a kid. And of course, it is a, sort of a one of these Mexican anthems that we all sing when we pack our bags and move to another place. Right. But this also for me was a reference with another project that you did, Paris, Texas, right? Canción Mixteca. Mm-hmm. How did you think this could work in this project?
Well, if we think of it as the anthem of the immigrant and the displaced, so it has two sides. It has the Irish immigrant coming here and being absorbed. Many of them were absorbed into the north of Mexico there. You know, they married Mexican women and had kids and went on to several of them apparently fought with Villa in the revolution that came later. Or you could say it's the continuing migration through the conquered territory of the Southwest, where Mexico gave up California, Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, half of its territory in this war of 1848. And the whole, all these people from the borderlands then found themselves on the wrong side of the border, you might say. All this wealth in the north suddenly, where they had lived or done whatever they were doing, farming and whatnot, and what have you. And that whole way of life just began to disintegrate. It began to just dry up, as the Tigres del Norte point out in this interesting recent song of theirs, the farming just drying up, the family farms, the subsistence farms, having to come north. So you're immigrating. And that's, as you say, everybody that packs a bag, you know, can sing this tune and knows about this tune. And so I thought, well, you know, let's have Los Tigres do this tune. And they were very happy to do it and wanted to be a part of the record project. And it was, it's been fantastic experience to get to know them and pal around. And we've been to some shows and seen how they are with their audience. And the effect of the whole thing is just unbelievable.
You were telling me a couple of months ago that seeing them on stage perform to 70,000 people was something you've never experienced before.
Well, in Monterrey, Mexico, in the poor part of town, 70,000 people in the rain, pouring rain, cold rain, from midnight till 9 in the morning. That's a show. How many songs is that? Back-to-back songs, just one after another. Every request, every soggy piece of paper handed up to the stage, honored. The guys on stage dripping with water, their instruments soaking wet, the accordions wet, the guitars wet, the drums, the spray coming off the cymbals. But midnight till 9 a.m., and then when the early risers are getting up in town, going on their way to work, they come in for free. They didn't get to come to the, and pay $10 to come to the night, all night shows, so they're coming in for free in the morning, you know. And, of course, the audience sings every song. Seems to live through every song. I saw it. It was an amazing sight. And then Susie and I bailed at like 4 in the morning. I said, I can't stand up anymore. I'm freezing cold. I can't stand up here. So we went back to the hotel, lay down, got up to check out. It was 9:30. And here comes the band coming in, looking fine, change clothes, have a little breakfast, and go to the airport. I said, you guys, is this tiring for you? Well, it was a good show. You know, we enjoyed it. Now we have to go somewhere else. They didn't have time to be tired. Also, they have this, I believe, the music and the rapport with the audience as the main justice messengers, musical messengers of justice music today, without a shadow of doubt. They have strength that keeps this loop with them in the audience. You know, it's a very powerful thing to see.
So let's listen to Canción Mixteca. You do an introduction on guitar, and I think Vendai Parks on piano as well. Mm-hmm. And then it's the introduction to the song performed here by none other than Los Tigres del Norte with my special guest in studio, Ry Cooter, on 90.7 KPFK. Thank you. 90.7 FM KPFK Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, KPFK.org. Beto Arcos, it's the Global Village with my special guest in studio, Rai Cooter. This is music from the project, the record called San Patricio, The Chieftains, featuring Rai Cooter. This last piece, of course, with Los Tigres del Norte. What a beautiful sound, Rai. You know, you talk about a band and the story and the character of this band, and recording this in this beautiful space. It feels like you were there in a dance hall, right? Mm-hmm. The idea was to create this the environment.
Of course, we're people together, and what that feels like when you walk into one of those places, it's kind of remote from our experience nowadays, but on record it's still possible.
Some last comments, right? Yeah. I'm thinking, the record, so much of it tied and connected to something that happened 150 years ago. Yeah. And yet I also think about it today, not just because of the war that's going on in far away from here, although very close, as you said earlier, especially because we have a lot of people out there being killed every day. Right. But also, for me, the story that touches me probably closer is the story of solidarity, of a group of renegades, of unlikely army soldiers that were basically forced to sign up to go kill other people, and they felt that this was just unfair, that it was not okay, and the solidarity that they felt with Mexicans.
Right. Well, that's the beautiful part of the story, really. And we have to, I'm sure glad that Patty decided he wanted to do it, because it's brought about already for me personally some great experiences. Los Tigres, Patty, being with Patty on stage is a fantastic, I mean, you have a great time. He's so terrific as a band leader, and I know that it'll be mighty fine down there in Cerritos on Sunday, you can bet. And he also gets local people sometimes and surprises, and you never know who's going to show up, and it's a mighty good time, mighty good fun.
Rai, thank you so much for coming by. I'd like to go out with one more piece here. This tune that Patty said that it reminded him of a story similar in Ireland of the sort of icon of Irish history that was chased by the British when they I guess came over to Ireland and, as he said, never left. The story of Pancho Villa. Pancho Villa, many people may not know the story, but Pancho Villa is actually the only person that managed to ever invade the U.S. In Columbus, New Mexico, after the Mexican Revolution or so. And this song is a story about that. Persecución de Villa. This is with the mariachi headed by Jesús Chuy Guzmán. Tell us a bit about this piece, Persecución de Villa.
Yes, it would remind you of Guernica a little. It was the first action by the United States Air Force, whatever it may have consisted of in those days, but airplanes with bombs or guns or something was mounted, you know. And they chased Villa. The Air Force chased him around back into Mexico at the request of the Mexican government, of course. So the revolution failed. I mean, as Fidel says, I quote him in the Sands of Mexico tune, you know, La historia me absolverá. History will absolve me and us, as you say, the renegades, the people of solidarity, the working people, the people that struggle. History will absolve them, even though these revolutions seem to just sputter out and are preempted and co-opted and subverted, you know. But we can read back and understand what they were feeling, what they were going through, and like Howard Zinn says, that the little democracy that we have today is the gift of people like this, I think.
Thank you so much, Rai. Yeah.